I'm Tommy Gimler. Jimmy Graham is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks, which is pretty ironic since he is a huge pussy and they are not. We'll run down the winners and losers of the NFL's free agent frenzy.
I'm Andy Ostroff, and Stephen A. Smith basically called Chip Kelly a racist this week. And for no good reason, we'll break down that horseshit.
I'm Aaron Lewis, but not the one from Stained. A Cincinnati Reds prospect was arrested this week for throwing a rock at a woman and knocking her unconscious. We'll praise his impeccable accuracy in this week's episode of The Pile.
Well, that's your defense.
And I'm T'Shawn Phillips, and I think we can all agree that it's really, really good to have me back.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
You were definitely missed, buddy. That's for sure. We're super stoked to have you back. We actually had a couple of people Facebook us, wondering where you were.
I'm back, everyone.
All right.
They were both family members of T'Shawn, yeah, but still.
We'll let your mom know.
All people who got off to his reading of Gronking to Remember.
Did they write another book? Yeah. All right. Let's jump right into it, guys. It's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
The NFL free agent frenzy, otherwise known as Tuesday. It's been a wild couple of days as some rumors have come to fruition while others have fizzled out like DMX. Which teams are winners and which teams are losers? Aaron Lewis, why don't we start off with you?
I think you got to look first at everybody in the AFC East, with the Jets getting Darrell Revis, getting Brandon Marshall. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Dolphins landing Ndamukong Suh. And then the Bills getting, who did the Bills get?
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy, yep. He's a pretty good one as well. Although I don't really believe so much in the running backs being game changers for everybody. I think that's starting to prove now.
I think LeSean McCoy has a bunch to look forward to, like getting hurt in week six, like every Buffalo
He'll
Bills
sell a lot
back.
Of jerseys. Yeah. They'll make some money off him,
yes,
that's for
will.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going with the big winner, the Buffalo Bills. Or just
the entire AFC East. It's like an arms race in the AFC East, man. It's like fucking Russia-USA Cold War, meaning USA is the Patriots because they're the good guys and Russia is the rest of the AFC East.
Let's get T'Shawn in on this. Well, AFC East, what do you think?
I just think that, when you look at how the teams that have done well are the most desperate and the shittiest teams. I mean, it's sort of all the good teams are just trying to hang on to their motherfuckers. And then all the bad teams are like, look at us with all our greatness and haphazard moves here.
Yeah, I read you. You're saying that all the bad teams had cap space because they didn't have anybody. They weren't paying anybody.
Well, unless you're like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're a pretty good team, and they're trying to get their guys. They're like, just retire. Just retire. We don't really want to pay you or see you in another team's uniform. So we hope Troy Polamalu just retires.
Tennessee was successful at that. They were Locker to retire.
Did you just call him Dick Locker?
For that.
Did he retire?
Jake Locker retired today at 26 years old.
Moving on here in the hot mess, let's talk about some of the losers now. I would love to say that the 49ers were probably the biggest loser this time around, right? Agreed?
Why? Because half their team is arrested and the other half retired.
Well, actually, I'd like to make a point about that. We're going to talk about Bruce Miller a little later, I think, but he was arrested, and I just think that's a team building thing because that makes 11 guys of the 49ers arrested this calendar year, and that's a defense right there.
It's like a corporate
11 guys
retreat
make
kind
a defense.
Of yeah.
So, like I said here on the show, I think the 49ers right now are a bigger mess than Emile Hirsch. And it almost got worse. So before you call them a huge loser, you can't really officially put that label on them because it was rumored that they were considering swapping Colin Kaepernick for Jay Cutler. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could have been a lot worse.
They might want to get rid of Kaepernick just because he's like a Harbaugh guy.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. So I think that's why they were thinking about bringing in someone else. I mean,
and
that would have been.
Was it Jim Tomsula, the new coach? Like, wasn't he supposed to like?
Is it Jeff? Is it Jeff or Jim?
I thought it was Jim.
I don't think it matters.
Was he supposed
Jay
to?
I don't think it's matter. It's
Tomsula.
Not.
Wasn't
not gonna,
he supposed
not
to keep
be
people around? Like they wanted to be had. Like they were like, let's pick our 49ers guy, Jim Tomsula, and then Patrick Willis like, fuck this shit.
The hot mess.
Speaking of losers, guys, let's move on here in the hot mess. How stupid is Stephen A. Smith? If you guys missed this, Smith went on First Take Monday morning and basically called Chip Kelly a racist, right? It is perhaps his dumbest rant yet. And when I say that is something, right?
You're including his beef jerky commercials?
I forgot he did, though.
He has a new one with Vitale.
It's he's still so doing dumb. It?
Still doing it. He's got more. He has that Richard Sherman one and the Dick Vitale ones out now.
Really?
Like, God, these suck.
God, I can't believe
and
sales
I love
are still
beef jerky.
Do people really love Stephen A. Smith that much?
Doesn't he play the role of the stomach in those
commercials? Yeah, he's the stomach. I just want Skip Bayless
sure
and Stephen A. Smith to fight to
strips.
The death where both of them die. They're the worst.
Well,
they're
I think,
the worst.
All right, so basically this is what Stephen A. Smith said about Chip Kelly. He said that his moves, what he is doing in Philadelphia, and he's like, and he said, screw it, I'm just going to say it. It has left some brothers uncomfortable. I said it. That is what it is.
This is pretty good.
He basically went out.
Where'd you get that soundbite?
That's not a soundbite. So he goes on and says that, and then he goes on a Sirius XM radio show, and he says, "I said it. I'm not going to apologize for it." And I know what he's doing. He's basically this is the Skip Bayless method of reporting on stories.
Yeah,
is you say shit so stupid and so asinine that people have to tune into your show to either hear your apology about it or, you know, hear why you're not going to
apologize. I think Rush Limbaugh created that before Skip Bayless got the chance.
Correct. And he got kicked off of ESPN for saying something that was racially sensitive.
He was also addicted to painkillers.
So.
What do you mean was?
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to go through. He basically said because this is why he thought Chip Kelly was a racist, because he let DeSean Jackson go, because he let Jeremy Maclin go, and because he let LeSean McCoy go.
But he also said it was because he kept Riley Cooper.
Correct. Yes. But I want to tell you why Riley Cooper is still on there. And it's because it's a matter of how much money he's making, right? And it didn't help Jeremy Macklin's case that Jordan Matthews, the rookie they drafted out of Vanderbilt, had a banner year. Great year, right? So Jeremy Maclin, they didn't just let him go. They offered him $9 million a year on average to stay. But you don't hear him saying that. This is how stupid he is. He looks at things in a black and white issue, and that is all. And I'll tell you this. I think deep down, he thinks that Kiko Alonso is white. And that LeSean McCoy was traded for a white linebacker that went to Oregon, and that is not the case.
Kiko Alonso
Cuban
also,
and Colombian.
Yeah.
Kiko Alonso also sounds like he could be a Playboy bunny.
Yes. And Mark Sanchez is Mexican.
Yeah.
Or the Conga player.
Correct.
Yeah. Awesome Brazilian band.
So I broke it down. Basically, this
and he wants to draft a Samoan.
Right. So
he's putting together fucking United Colors of Benetton. How is he racist?
Isn't Sam Bradford some kind of like American
he's
Indian?
He's Native
too?
American,
right?
Yeah.
So there. So yeah, so he's getting rid of his white quarterbacks for a Hawaiian and a Native American, right? So but he doesn't talk about that. This is
such a
this
dipshit.
Offseason, this is who they have let go, and I'm sure that there's more than just this. Trent Cole, who's black, Todd Harrimans, who's white, he didn't mention that. LeSean McCoy, black, Kerry Williams, black, and then Nick Foles, white, right?
But then you bring in Sam Bradford, who went to Oklahoma, and we saw what happened this week at the University of Oklahoma. Just another racist to come onto the team.
They sing racist songs at
the dining
hall, apparently.
I can't believe everyone's standing around as this team of racists keeps surrounding each other and rallying.
Well, I think Philadelphia is such a fucking racist city.
It is.
Racist against Santa Claus.
So this now keep in mind when he said this, then these are the list of players that had either been traded to the team or were rumored to be signing with the Eagles. Now it wasn't the case with Frank Gore, but Frank Gore was supposed to be on the Eagles at that time. So that's who was going to be replacing LeSean McCoy. So if anything, you could say if Frank Gore was replacing LeSean McCoy, they got blacker because it doesn't get any blacker than Frank Gore.
I don't know.
NFL.
LeSean McCoy did leave a dollar tip on $70.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Jeez.
So Mark Sanchez is static. Kiko Alonso, Cuban and Colombian. Byron Maxwell, black.
I don't mean it.
Brandon Graham, black. Brad Jones, black. Frank Gore, who, now went to the Colts, but He's
you know what's
black.
Sad about this whole thing? Because we're discussing it in this way, it is so much more racist than anything Chip Kelly did. We're going through the races of all these guys. We're like, this white guy, this black guy. This is the definition of racism.
Never would have been an issue.
Never would have been an issue if it wasn't for racist fucking Stephen A. Smith.
Correct.
If you think about racism like that, you're the racist.
The hot mess.
Chris Johnson shot in a drive-by shooting.
Ooh. Of course, this was fucking Florida. Can I just mention that real quick?
Yeah. All right. So not only was it Florida, but it's at 4 a.m. So, and granted,
nothing
this,
good happens after midnight.
This guy, remember
or
when everyone
8 p.m. if you're in Florida,
yeah, or 8 p.m. or ever in Florida, that should be the contract. Just be like, no dangerous activity. You cannot snowboard. You cannot ride a motorcycle, and you cannot go to Florida.
So what? At what time? I say. I mean, you don't want to. It's not like they're gremlins or anything. So you don't want to put like midnight as a time when like, hey, you have to be in, even when it's out of season. But 4 a.m. on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning, and you get shot in a drive-by. And I think the craziest thing about Chris Johnson is that after you get shot in a drive-by, right? If you're completely innocent, don't you want to like totally cooperate with authorities? Like, I saw this, whatever. They said that when the police showed up, like, he was totally uncooperative. Just the only thing he said is, I saw a car. That was it.
Yeah.
He's probably hammered drunk, too.
Well, he wasn't driving. The driver got killed, I think, right?
I don't know, man.
But he
hold on.
But yeah, also, he's not going to rat.
I mean, he might have been
he's
in shock.
He's no rat.
He might have been in
he's
shock.
He's a rat. Let's see. New details emerged from the shooting, which occurred at 4 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday. Johnson was in the direct line of fire, based on what the incident report released by the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Johnson was in the front passenger seat, and deputies observed numerous bullet holes on the passenger side of the vehicle. The driver, Dricius Orico Johnson, was killed by a gunshot to the right side of the head. The car was in the drive position. That's some serious shit right there.
The saddest part is Dricius Orico Johnson just learned how to spell his name. this long.
And then he lost his life. That's too bad.
Well,
really bad.
Apparently, Chris Johnson didn't even know that he was shot, which is in line with all of the scouting reports, which say that he has a lot of trouble finding the hole.
Remember when Chris Johnson, like everyone was like, and I guarantee you could go back and you could look at ESPN and all these NFL analysts and say, like, you got to show him the money. Guaranteed they're like, Chris Johnson, what does he have to do to get the money? This is why you do not give your crazy running backs the money.
Yeah.
You don't. You just don't pay running backs anymore in today's NFL. So, like, imagine you're the GM for the Jets.
Ugh.
And you hear this
story. I feel terrible. Oh, I just got sick to my stomach.
Even without hearing this headline, imagine you're the GM of the Jets.
I'd rather be doing the
Didn't the Jets
cast.
Cut him? Before
no.
this?
No.
He's a former Jet.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not on the Jets anymore. They cut him because he sucked so hard last year.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
No mas.
So the GM of the Jets is probably like, thank God.
Oh, so his career's done. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Moving on here in the hot mess. The NCAA. I thought he was still a player.
No, but I even wrote down some fun injuries.
So did I.
Because you want to say, like, is there a story?
All right, let's not move on then. All right, okay, let's not move on. So I
wrote down some real ones, too.
All right, like, so what are some other calls? I said, like, imagine being the Jets GM, and you get a phone call saying your running back that you just dropped a couple million dollars on, and since he's on the roster at this point, he collects his millions of dollars no matter what, just got shot in a drive-by shooting. What would be, like, an even worse headline to – or like a phone call to get, either a headline to read or a phone call to get as a GM?
Well, one that I really liked was like a real one was my favorite of the weirdest is like when Robert Parrish threw out his back shoveling his own driveway and couldn't play. Yeah. But also like Plaxico Burress with his fucking gun in his sweatpants shooting himself in the leg.
Can you imagine that? Like, if I'm the GM of the Celtics and I hear Robert Parrish threw out his back, shoveling his driveway, I'm like, you're fucking with me. And I totally think that you're taking it to another level.
The
like,
funniest
I will not
one,
believe
though,
you.
One of the funniest ones is was this. I know you don't like soccer, but the goalie on Valencia in Spain was supposed to be the goalie for Spain in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was in the shower, he broke a bottle of cologne and cut up his legs so bad that he couldn't play in the World Cup.
Who's putting cologne on in a shower?
I don't know, man. It's a fucking weird Spanish dude. He also like
fucking
dyed
Spaniards,
blonde
man.
Hair stuff. But I mean, Iker Casillas got to play, and he was awesome. So
okay.
He was 18 years old in the World Cup, and I don't know if you remember. You probably don't. But then he won in that shootout against the Irish.
And this is, of course, a hypothetical. But what if you're a GM, and you get the call 4 in the morning, you find out that your QB just tweeted out support for ISIS.
That's a good
or left the team to join ISIS.
The hot mess.
I wanted to bring this up to you, Sean. We talked about it earlier, like maybe a couple months or not maybe a couple weeks ago, with Jim Boeheim saying he's not going anywhere after Syracuse. You know, Syracuse at first put their own sanctions on themselves,
right?
And apparently it wasn't good enough that the NCAA really hammered them for it, really, if you think about it.
The NCAA is full of shit, man.
I can't believe this isn't a bigger story than it is. I feel like 10 years ago, this would have been like
right.
the biggest, like one of the biggest stories.
Well,
I'll
tell
sports.
You what,
I think
Chris Jones, ripen chicks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's also,
here's the thing. T-Shawn touched on it before. The NCAA took 8 years to do this fucking investigation, and they're just like watching this shit happen, not saying anything. If they took 1 year to do this investigation, they would have cleaned up everything immediately, and then nothing would have been an issue later. Mm-hmm. They would be like, hey, stop this, this, and this. Instead, they're like, oh, we're just going to sit here and watch this, this, and this. Yeah.
But they kept on doing this, this, and this anyways.
Well, yeah.
They did.
Because nobody told them not to.
We still actually.
Do they need to?
We still aren't clear on.
Yeah. Well, they do. Because apparently some
the
dude.
The CAA told us that we can't be taking tests for our students. So we're going to keep taking
not
tests
even
for
that.
Our students.
Some of the big things were like this guy at a fucking YMCA paid three football players and two basketball players $3,000 over the course of 2 years, paid five people $3,000. That's not a lot of money.
That comes
the NCAA
out like $50 a month.
Yeah, and they're like, I can't do this.
Well, that's not the big. That's not the big penalties there, though.
It was in their the fucking report.
No, that does not come out to $50 a month, dude. That comes out to like $70.
No, that's actually one of the few things they really detailed with any definition. Like everything else, were just. Like,
and the other thing is, players NCAA were
actually,
getting
actually,
suspended during.
Actually,
this.
It's a little under 60, a little around 60.
They were taking
this
action.
Into a math program?
Thank you, Stephen Hawking. The next episode of the Dudcast is going to be all math.
But here's the thing also, which I talked to Aaron about earlier in the week, is that there's an ongoing investigation going on at UNC right now, and that looks a lot worse than what's happened in Syracuse, and I think Syracuse is just the tip of the iceberg, man. UNC is going to get fucking hammered.
I think so, too. But it is, I think,
hammered.
You know, it's, I think the schools are judged on their general belovedness, and so like if you rank in a certain way, and Cuse has some haters, but it's well liked in general as like from fandom. But UNC is really well liked, so they've got a lot to wrestle with. I think when they finally come up with all the dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
Well, I think by the time UNC like they finally you know. What was this? 8 years it took them to do this investigation. So by the time
4 years from now, when they come out with a UNC verdict,
all the players are gonna be getting paid anyway. So it's not gonna matter.
Yeah, but it's gonna affect the future players.
And as a UNC fan, I'd be remiss if I just didn't throw Duke right in there. What the heck's going on with Suleiman and all the stuff that they're starting to uncover there? With
Duke would have been a good team.
Who knew what and when?
Suleiman raped a chick. Too bad. It would have been a good team this year.
Yeah, bro.
They would have been super scintillating and
they
sensational.
They're scholarship players, baby.
Yeah, he raped a chick.
Number 9's raping bitches. They talk about it at
all against
the campfires. They're too afraid to say it to anybody else because they're intimidated. Yay! College basketball, people.
I mean, so are they going to – now, and this is probably the thing that actually perturbs me the most about the Boeheim situation is the taking away of the wins.
108 wins, man. That's bullshit.
I find that – completely
well,
preposterous.
Oh, I hate those.
Joe Paterno got his wins back. So,
and I love the exact phrasing. Ah. The exact phrasing that they have in there is a vacation of wins. That sounds like a reward, not a punishment to me.
Right.
Like I would love a vacation of wins.
I don't even think they really care because Jim Boeheim knows that everyone that was alive during his tenure like knows he won all those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for posterity's
sake, Boeheim's been in Syracuse for what, like 62
tough.
Years?
But the thing is, I don't think they would do that to Coach K. You know, if these investigations and you know the Suleiman case is only just the beginning for them and their problems, then
Coach K used to have 1,000 wins, and Suleiman raped the chick. Now he's down to 40.
We'll say I was a big fan.
Vitale's in a Pizza Hut commercial, by the way, I just saw, with David Robinson.
I was a big fan of UMass in the mid-90s, and they had to vacate the Final Four during that time. I don't look back at that and pretend that UMass wasn't in the Final Four.
It was a Final Three. Yeah.
Let's move on.
With Bryant Big Country Reeves.
Final story.
Unstoppable.
In the hot mess here, guys. Final story here. We don't talk about hockey that much unless Slava Voynov is beating the piss out of
Or the Pittsburgh Penguins have bumps.
It's an old disease.
I'm Slava Voynov.
The Edmonton Oilers, listen to this, have been eliminated from the playoffs already, and it's for the 9th straight year. Now, if this would happen to, you know, an LA team, the Anaheim Ducks, it's like, who cares? You have all this other stuff going on. The Tampa Bay Lightning, they get eliminated for the 9th consecutive year. Who cares? It's Florida and it's hockey, right? But this is Edmonton in Canada. Like, what do you think these guys are doing right now? That this is all they have, their hockey team.
I wrote one note. It just says, drink. That's it. Canadian beers get a higher alcohol content. Right. They're going to drink this away.
You know that. Right. Canadian beers like moonshine.
Hell yes.
Labatt's Blue smiles along with you.
Some more Molson.
Molson Double X.
Don't they have an awesome shopping mall in Edmonton?
Let's hope.
Like a world-renowned shopping mall with like
I
a roller
sure
coaster
shit hope
in there.
So.
They do. It's another
Probably.
Place
they
like got to
put the streets underground because people will freeze.
I think they should just be thankful that they have a team. Not only are they a small market team, but they're a small market Canadian team.
Right.
That follows the metric system and all that. And so I think that the
that
fact
follows
that they have
the metric
a team,
system.
I think they should just be thankful about that and, you know, just if they get to the playoffs, then that's all gravy.
And has Canada been getting like hammered just like the Northeast and like the Midwest here in the United States?
I don't know. We don't get any Canada news in this country. And for good reason, too.
I believe Canada,
unless the mayor's smoking crack, we're not going to hear about it.
Right.
Canada's been getting Canada weather, I think.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
That's just how it goes.
Tundra.
I don't know.
I think Boston's getting Canada weather.
Yeah. They've had a tundra-like winter.
All right, guys. That was a good hot mess. I think that was maybe the most intellectual hot mess we've ever had.
I think that's too much praise. But
it lacked more of the humor, but it actually, I think, had really good conversations. Either that or I might be
five
Bud Lights.
Well, I'm not funny, so that would
make
sense.
Listen, Stephen A. Smith.
thanks a lot, Stephen A. Smith.
Sounded like a lot of Stephen A. and then a lot of Vital in the end, actually. It was just a little
dicky. Right. Speaking of losers, let's move on to the pile.
The pile.
Oh, this is great. We didn't do the pile last week. We actually took a week vacation from the pile. Yeah, make sure we have Judge.
A wins vacation?
We have the Dud Judge. Tishon Prince back in the house here.
Tishon Prince.
These are five really good stories. I actually can't wait to go through. I know you guys don't like all of them, but I enjoy all five of these stories.
I love the first one.
Silence in the court.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's been a while. So it's been a while.
The first one here is great. This is a Cincinnati Reds prospect, Tanner Rahier. Did I say that right?
Who cares?
He's not Indian either. This guy's white. Tanner Rahier, the Cincinnati Reds prospect, was arrested for knocking a woman unconscious when he threw a rock and hit her in the head.
Was he just showing off? What is that? I it's not my place to say anything, is it? I am the judge.
No, you got the spoon. I mean, gavel. Yeah.
So who wants to defend this guy?
Aaron, I think, wants to.
I'll defend him.
You guys are looking back and forth at each other.
Of course you are. You said before we even started, I want to defend the first guy.
If anyone says the name correctly, they win.
Right here.
No, it's the first name. Tanner.
Ma'am, where were you hit? Right here. With that rock. That right here.
You
through.
Stole my defense.
Let the record show that Tommy's pointing to his head.
All right.
Here we go. The defense of Tanner Rahier.
All right. You've heard of Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
Yeah.
Tanner Rahier is the Unfrozen Caveman player. Where he comes from, they always throw rocks at women. He doesn't know anything about this modern society where women don't get rocks thrown at them. That's just normal in his culture.
That's how we met her.
And this is a cultural thing and a cultural difference. And we have to take the time here in our American society to understand and embrace these different cultures and how they interact with women. And if we bring a caveman back unfrozen from the last 10,000 years, then we're going to need to respect their ways.
I thought you said you had a good defense.
I was waiting for the judge to take the wooden spoon and hit the countertop with it.
Sounds like you're talking that Tanner right here is part of ISIS with that throwing rocks at women thing.
You sound like a public defender.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Tanner Rahir should not only be arrested for hitting a woman in the head with a rock, he should also be kicked off the Cincinnati Reds because he didn't kill her. What kind of shortstop throws a rock at someone's head and doesn't kill them? Come on, man. He's got to up his velocity on that.
The accuracy was there.
It was. And where did this take place?
This took place in Glendale, Phoenix. Glendale, Arizona, the Phoenix area.
So
you know,
it's
Glendale?
Like an urban environment.
Have you been to Glendale? It's literally like the University of Phoenix Stadium and then the movie theater and bar that are right around it, and that's it.
So. Sounds nice.
It's a desert. It's a desert environment. Yeah.
So plenty of rocks.
There are plenty of rocks to throw. Yeah. And he didn't throw just one. Listen to this.
So his accuracy isn't that good.
So it says that Rahir got into an argument with a bartender at Polano's Pizza and refused to pay his tab. Rahir's girlfriend led him outside where they began arguing. And then Rahir started throwing rocks at his girlfriend, police said. One rock, about 8 inches in diameter.
That's a big fucking rock.
Maybe they were rolling rocks. They were outside of a bar. You never know.
Reportedly hit the woman on the left side of her head and caused a deep cut, knocked her unconscious. Rahir then ran from the scene, but police apprehended him close to the restaurant.
Didn't he claim that he didn't know who she was?
Correct. Yeah, so he said he didn't know who she was. And then I thought the funniest part of it was that she was like, yeah, we've been dating, but it's a non-sexual thing. Like the girl was like embarrassed that she was dating the guy and was like, for whatever reason, decided to tell the cops that it's a non-sexual thing.
So was she a hooker?
No,
because they have sex.
That's a very sexual thing.
Oh, okay.
Not an emotional thing, that.
And Judge
hired an emotional hooker.
Judge, before
week.
Your rule, I'd also like to remind you that Rahir was previously arrested in Oklahoma for public intoxication as well.
This guy sounds like a class act.
All right. Well, learning more of the story, I mean, this guy is definitely a complete jackass. So
fuck. I mean, he hit .238 with 9 home runs and 54 runs batted in for
the
Dayton Dragons.
And not that good a player. So, yeah, of course, he's guilty.
All right. Moving on. Bruce Miller. In the pile.
Yeah, we already touched on this guy.
The 49ers fullback arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor battery of a spouse or cohabitant. Who wants to defend this guy?
And did he kick her out beforehand?
He kicked her.
Oh, is that what you're going with, that he kicked her?
I don't know.
So does anybody want to defend him or no?
I'm just going to say what I said before, man. He was just upset that his team was in disarray, felt like he needed to provide some unity to that team, and so he beat up his spouse so he could get arrested with the 10 other guys and make a defense.
Do you want to say anything about it or no?
Somewhat of a defense. You can't defend spousal abuse, obviously, or domestic violence by any means. But I think that you look at that team and you see there are other players, you know, Ray McDonald and Alden Smith, who have been committing crimes. And I think Stephen A. Smith actually frame this guy to see how the white guy was going to get treated.
Yeah, he's got a red beard, too. He's got a red beard. He's super white.
And see if there's equal justice doled out on both sides. So I actually blame Stephen A. Smith for all of this.
Oh, ooh, Judge Tishon?
That's pretty clever. Did he throw a rock at her?
There was no rock. So here's the crazy thing. All right, so the alleged victim.
He drives an IROC, though.
The alleged victim called police to the posh bagel, saying that she was behind the restaurant and that her boyfriend had, quote, attacked her and took her keys, unquote. She then said, never mind, and hung up. So I don't know if he's guilty. This sounds just like a crazy chick.
Telling you, Stephen A. Smith setting it all up.
Stephen A. Smith goes to the
show
posh.
Me the evidence that he didn't.
He goes to the posh bagel.
We'll go He doesn't sound like a good guy, but it might be a hung jury on this one. Hung jury.
Hung jury. That's a win.
We'll touch on it again. We'll bring it back in 3 weeks when he's acquitted. Moving on here in the pile.
The pile.
Shay McKenzie, the Virginia Tech running back, was arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And this wasn't like one of these things where, you know, Shay McKenzie's 19, she's 17. I get that. You know, you're just out of school. She's almost out of high school. I get it. This girl was 14. Who wants to defend this guy?
Andy, that's all you.
This is really what happened. Look, Shay McKenzie tore his ACL, right? And he just needed someone with small hands to get in there and massage the area. So it's a simple massage and nothing more. The only problem is that his dick reaches his knee.
I think that's going to be tough to argue against.
I feel like there's strong plausibility there.
So,
the
prosecution?
The prosecution looks at the same facts and shows that Shay McKenzie let a 14-year-old jerk him off.
In light of the new facts, that might be one of the funniest things I've ever heard on this podcast. And hey, Your Honor, I'm sorry, his dick hangs down to his knees. Now, McKenzie is charged with 2 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. However, his pal, Devin Gavion, is charged with 1 count of carnally knowing without the use of force a child of the age of 14 years. So it's almost like McKenzie was there, maybe set it up, maybe, you know,
he
knew
was
about
the
situation.
I believe the report that I read said there were 4 condoms recovered at the scene.
Really?
Yes, I think that was
well, then they're in trouble.
They were just being used as water balloons.
Now, knowing that there are 4 condoms found at the scene, does Mr. Ostroff's case hold water?
Yeah, because they have to put the ice inside the condom so it doesn't leak water all over the floor when they're putting the ice on the knee after the ACL massage.
That's enough. That's enough.
Bang the gavel.
Let's hope they don't DNA test that.
So I feel like, what was the friend's name?
Devin Gavion?
I feel like Devin could have moved Shay's dick out of the way and been a helper, and then we wouldn't have this issue. I think Shay is guilty.
All right. Guilty of having a big dick. Moving on in the pile.
The pile.
Darius Van Blunt. All one word. Last name, Van Blunt. The University of North Florida track athlete arrested for punching a basketball player, and this is after they got their first ever berth to the NCAA tournament. His boy with him also fired a shot inside the party they broke into. Who wants to defend this guy?
I'll take it. First of all, Van Blunt sounds like a very classy way to get stoned. I'd just like to mention that.
If you've seen this guy's, you know, yearbook shot, mm-hmm. Did you see it?
The
North
hair?
Florida track.
The one with the hair.
He's been stoned before. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
But not in a Tanner Rahier sort of way.
So you're Darius Van Blunt. You're trying to enjoy a nice Friday night in Jacksonville. And you're walking down the street. And you look up and you see there's a party with all of your buddies. And you're not invited to that party. How would you feel if you were attending a small school like University of North Florida, weren't invited to this party that everybody seemed to be at? I'd be a little mad too. So when he came and knocked on the door, he might have lost a little bit of control of himself. I don't know. He's not responsible for his friend who is shooting guns up in the air, acting all Yosemite Sam. He's just a man who just wants to be included. And I think we can't reject somebody who just wants to feel like he's part of a team.
God, that's a communist defense.
I'm going to defend him also. But better.
Oh, you're getting help.
At 2 a.m., the police spotted this man running from the scene. And then they caught him.
Not a good
He
track
is
star.
A track star.
That's
what
why he's not
fat-ass cop is going to catch him? He was just a black dude, and as Stephen A. Smith would say, this is racist. Innocent.
Well, I think we just found out why he's not at the University of Florida.
Yeah. Too much weed.
T-Shawn, Judge T-Shawn
Too many
Prince.
Van Blunts.
You know, I do feel bad for him.
It sounds like a hell of a party.
Yeah. No, it's
a lot of 14-15-year-olds there, you know?
It sounds like a clear case of bullying against Darius Van Blunt. And he is free. Free man, Darius
Free
Van
man.
Blunt.
All right, should we move on here in the pod? I think we have enough here.
Yeah,
in the pod.
Let's go on to the F or F. F
O F. All right, that's good.
F O F.
And we could even drag the last one into next week as well. All right, here we go. That was a great pile, guys. It was great to have it back. I missed it after 1 week. I was literally shaking in my.
I was really worried that athletes were becoming model citizens.
No, that was not the case. That was just not the case. Ladies and gentlemen, thing that we're never really going to pass up here is a chance to play some Factor Fudge.
Ooh,
that's what we're
going
to do here today, ladies and gentlemen. It's time once again for Factor Fudge.
Fact or fudge?
Fact or fudge.
It is a fact that we're doing it. This is great, guys, and it's actually doubling up as our Major League Baseball preview part two. Right? We can't be here in March not talking about baseball. Right? And unfortunately, you know, going through spring training stat lines isn't going to quite cut it. No one wants to hear about, you know.
Unless no one wants to hear about spring training.
Right, yeah, you know, the Brewers. Although three Cubs went back-to-back-to-back today. It was Jorge Soler, Javier Baez, and Chris Bryant all went back-to-back-to-back.
No Anthony Rizzo involved.
And then, like the Cubs, they still lost the game. They lost the game. But no one wants to hear about that stuff. So, gentlemen, this is your Factor Fudge question. T-Sean, good to have you back. Let's do this.
All right. This is a very long question, so pay attention. Factor Fudge. Who's starting, by the way?
Who won the last one? Did Aaron upset?
I won.
No.
You won 2 weeks ago. All right. So yeah. Andy's back in the championship chair.
What is your total record, Andy?
A lot.
It's
got
to be like 10-2.
I've only lost once.
10-1
didn't count.
It's got to be like 10-1. 10-1 and asterisk.
Yeah.
You don't get to decide the ones that count and don't count.
Yeah, he's going up against the one that he lost.
The Vulcan Bowl.
That was a great one. Factor.
T-Shot had a Factor Fudge with new rules. He gave Murphy extra questions.
All right, here we go. Factor Fudge.
Is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year?
Oh my.
Or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary? Or, you guessed it, both.
I like it.
Andy, you start.
All right.
Who comes up with these questions, man? They're genius.
Gosh.
Working Jackson
hard,
the
that
dog
guy.
Does. Really?
Is it the intern?
It is, Rakesh. Mm. He's a sick fuck.
Yeah, he is. All right. So which city? So I say the city, and you are telling me the answers. We're going to start with Miami.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Yeah. Wait a sec. So they could, if they're under, there's no way they could be both.
Right. Well, so yeah. So you gotta look at it now. 82 wins.
Because I'm gonna say they're under 82 wins.
Okay. So now is Miami found in a sex move on Urban Dictionary?
Yeah, it's gotta be. So it's a fudgemundum.
So you're gonna say just the sex move?
Yeah, I'm gonna say just the sex move.
Okay.
So you say under, over, sex move, or both?
I'm gonna say under. Yes, sex move.
It's going to be an interesting one to see.
Here we go. I'm already all I typed in was the Miami. And so far I came up with the Miami Shuffle. Hold on. I'm going to have to Google, is there a sex move with Miami in it?
I don't know. That feels like a stretch.
A lot of good prep here.
Yeah, this was a last second kind of thing. I've been busy, damn it.
So we're
Hey, how about Giancarlo Stanton? Let's talk about him.
Let's talk about that face mask.
Oh, no worries. We'll edit this out. We'll find it.
So it just has to have the word of the city in the name of the sex move.
Here it is. It's going to be just the sex move.
Hey, that means I win the points.
I'm still not following.
It's a little anticlimactic, but I got a point.
No, that's not. This is not a sex move. The Miami pimp smack is a pimp smack laid down with both hands at the same time. Point of contact is the hoe's ears, and results in busted eardrums. Is that a sex move?
If it's a pimp and a hoe,
if he's penetrating her,
I think that kind of counts, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm filing a protest. I will continue this under protest.
All right.
At this time, we're gonna say that it's just a sex move, just a sex move, because the Miami Marlins are favored to win 80 games, predicted to win 80 games. The over-under has been set at 80. All right, so Andy Ostroff won thanks to the Miami pimp smack. Aaron Lewis, not from Stain, zero, but he hasn't gone yet. Here we go.
Factor fudge.
And he's operating under protest.
Yeah, protest.
And factor fudge. Is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Milwaukee.
Over 82? Didn't we go over this? Didn't we say that Milwaukee was right at 82?
It could be. You tell me.
I could have sworn that we... I think we did this a couple weeks ago.
We did something similar.
We said that I'm going to... I think it's definitely a sex move.
And I was
move.
Not good at it.
Okay.
I think Milwaukee is definitely a sex move. Whether I'm going to go with sex move only.
Well, it's 82. Is 82. At 82 a push?
82 would be a push. He said clearly over 82. So I'm going to say sex move only.
Sex move only.
Interesting. All right. So the Brewers are favored, or not favored, but they're predicted to win 80 and a half games.
Ooh. Ooh. All
right. So that takes the baseball
Ooh-wah.
Team out of the equation.
Ooh-wah.
Now, I've already come across the Milwaukee broiler, but that's just about shitting in your buddy's oven. So that is not a sex move. However... the Milwaukee pedicure sounds promising, doesn't it?
Ooh.
It's
Milwaukee
when you come in a girl's shoes while
sex
she's
move.
Sleeping. It's a sex move. When you come in a girl's shoes while she's sleeping in the middle of the night, then wake her up by telling her there's a fire and then put her shoes on. That's outstanding.
That's give that one an upvote. That one gets an upvote.
That's good. Feels squishy.
No one really gets hurt. It's an upvote.
I would assume that a Milwaukee sex move would have definitely involved a bratwurst.
Well, let's see. The Milwaukee buck, the Milwaukee carpet, the Milwaukee cheese dumpling. That has to be.
That's gotta be a sex move.
Cheese curd.
The act of squirting easy cheese into a rectum or vagina.
Ugh. Vagina, give that a down vote.
And then sucking out the creamy cheese mixture as a courtesy to one's partner, a lactate may be inserted as a suppository prior to the event to protect lactose intolerant males.
All right.
Oh, it has to be a dude.
We're moving on.
So Aaron gets the point?
Yeah, correct. Okay. So all that leads to Aaron getting the point. Very good.
All right. No, whoa. I thought he did not get the point.
No, he got it.
He did. He got it. He said that it was a sex move only, and that is what it is.
Okay.
It Andy more than won. One Aaron won.
Per usual, I'm
still under protest.
With the score
he should almost get bonus.
Tishon should learn the rules of this game at one point, I think.
Factor fudge, Andy. Is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Santiago.
I'm going to say both.
Oh, Santiago. I'm like, Santiago? What
it's
the fuck?
San Diego.
I think he means San Diego and not Chile.
You are incorrect, because the San Diego Padres, according to the Cosmopolitan, are predicted to win 81 games.
Oh, man.
81.
Smash the over.
So move on here. I'll try and find out. I'm sure there's a San Diego.
Involving a whale's vagina, I'd imagine.
Like the San Diego shitstorm, the San Diego charge her.
Yeah,
a sexual act involving anywhere from 2 to 24 people.
Jesus.
I love the variants.
Should we just leave it at that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Aaron.
No, it's not.
I thought a San Diego charger would involve any of Philip Rivers' children.
You got to hear this. Both people are wearing full San Diego Charger uniforms with the crotch area cut out of both. The man plays the QB and the girl plays center. The guy stands in shotgun formation with the girl hiked over like a center. He yells hike as loud as he can. He then runs as fast as he can up to the center and projects himself through the air, ramming his penis into either the girl's vagina or asshole. However many yards she has thrown forward is the gain on the play.
Even Cirque du Soleil couldn't pull that move off properly. Someone's going to get hurt.
Sounds far-fetched. It's
some
good cosplay.
Some of the most creative writers in the world are on Urban Dictionary.
Oh, yeah. You got to repeat until you score a touchdown. Your dick falls off from ramming it into a girl's asshole or you jizz on her back. That's the only way the game ends.
Your dick falls off.
It's like Monopoly. It doesn't seem like it'll end.
God damn it, I didn't get a point.
that's the main takeaway there is that Andy struck out on that one. All right, so we've got Andy Ostrov, one.
I just
Aaron
don't
Lewis.
Know the overs, man.
All right. One. Aaron Factor Fudge, is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win? I am rusty.
That's all right, man. You also lost weight. It takes a lot of pressure off the brain.
Weight related
hair. It's like King Solomon.
That's right.
Get rid of your hair. You lose
I think it was
all your
Samson.
Power.
Wasn't that the.
Samson and Delilah, man.
Solomon's the one who split babies in half.
Split babies? Or does he have the touch, the golden
to
touch?
Baby,
no, that was King Midas.
Are we reading
touch.
Urban Dictionary sex moves right now?
Yeah, here you go. Here you go. So there, just so there's no protest, there's the Miami student. You start with a case of natty and a funnel. You and your partner drink the natty until sloshed. You drain the remaining beer into your partner's ass using the funnel, then fuck her until the receiving partner
that
vomits.
That means natty, like natty ice.
So we're good. Natty. Oh, is it natty? Okay, natty.
That's
okay.
Your protest.
But your protest is done. You were going
to
protest the Miami sex move.
Anything?
I'm telling you there's one there. All right, here we go.
I imagine all these cities somehow find their way into an Urban Dictionary listing.
But yeah. Maybe.
I think
maybe
the
not.
Thing that's more
you
exciting is if,
about your hometown. You're putting it into the Urban
Dictionary. I think the most hometown isn't in the Urban Dictionary.
Then you got to move.
Yeah.
I didn't even get through the question last time. So factor
you didn't even get
there.
Through the intro.
Is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Chicago.
Oh, are we talking about the White Sox, or are we talking about...
Could be either.
Oh, boy. Jeez, where the...
Wait, so does he get to combine the wins?
No, he doesn't get to combine them. Does either of Chicago's professional baseball teams...
Definitely a sex move, and I think the White Sox are over. So I'll go with...
Both.
So this is a hard question.
Both.
Okay. According to the Cosmopolitan, the Cubs over-under is at 81.5.
Yeah,
the White Sox over-under is at 82.
Oh, it's a push, man. Oh. No points. Andy.
Predicted to win more than 82 games.
But you do get a point because there are more than 82 Chicago sex moves on Urban Dictionary.
Almost certainly.
So there you go, Aaron Lewis with a point. No? Okay.
Oh, they say a Chicago smile is
something I don't want to hear about. Oh. If you can't even
can we try to figure out what it is?
If it grows
no,
to
well,
you
there's,
out.
There's a Chicago sausage toss is the act of going from penetrating the ass to penetrating the vagina and back to the ass and again to the vagina and so on. That's a Chicago sausage toss.
How many strokes per is it?
Education.
Is it a single stroke move?
It's et cetera.
Stroke.
No, it is. I think it's one. Boom, just in and out,
one,
in and out, in and
wow.
out.
Wow. That sounds like a lot of work, actually.
It's like a two-man saw.
So guess what you would never guess what the, you know, how there's a sentence afterwards that like
yeah.
describes
right,
the
yeah,
move.
Right. Use it in the sentence.
Here's the sentence.
T-Shawn Prince.
The Chicago sausage toss is ass to pussy to 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 ass to pussy.
That is,
so it's basically just the definition.
Yeah. Yeah, it was made very clear to
give that one a downvote, sir.
Or put it in a better phrase.
All right, here we go.
I don't think you can
Andy Factor Fudge, is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Cincinnati.
I'm going to just say sex move.
That is correct. Cincinnati is favored to win. They're actually favored to or predicted to be the cellar dwellers of the NL Central, I believe. Let me just double check. 80 wins. That would put them at the bottom. And, of course.
Speaking of put at the bottom.
Of course, the Cincinnati chili dog is a sex move.
Of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that.
What is it, though?
Something disgusting.
It's, you got to shit on a dick, I imagine.
When a man shits on a girl's chest, then titty fucks her.
I thought that was a Cleveland steamer.
Generally used in Southwest Ohio. Nah.
Well, that's Cincinnati a Cleveland chili steamer.
No,
nah,
no, it's not.
Look up Cleveland steamer.
I can't because maybe Cleveland's one of the cities on here.
Yeah, but everyone knows about a Cleveland steamer.
Apparently not.
Every city has a sex move.
Factor fudge, Aaron. Is this a city whose professional baseball
team is basically just an over-under game
to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Cleveland.
Dynamite drop in, T-Shot.
Both. Cleveland steamer, and I'm going to set the over-under at about 85.5.
It is incorrect. The Cleveland Indians, according to Cosmopolitan, are right at 82.
Oh, so man.
Smash the over.
Right, oh, so man.
Andy, a lot of great money.
All right, so we've got Andy Ostroff.
By the way, a Cleveland steamer is when you shit between a girl's tits and titfucker, and a Cleveland slimer is when it's diarrhea.
Thank you so much. That saved us a lot of time. All right, here we go. Andy Ostroff to Aaron Lewis, not from Stained One. Here we go.
Factor fudge, is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games, more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? New York.
Both the New York teams?
Both New York teams are in
play. I'm going to say
they're
just the sex moves.
Really? That's interesting.
Yankees
All right,
are a popular team.
It's pretty good. So we have the Yankees.
Have a lot of people betting the over on that.
The New York Yankees are at 81.5
wow.
this year. Now keep in mind they haven't like finished under. If you would take the under there, you're going to say they're going to finish 500 or worse. They haven't finished under 500 since like the early 90s. It's crazy. 91 or 92. And then the New York Mets are actually predicted to win. It's actually a pretty high number, 80.5. 80.5. So far you're so good. Let's just see if New York is involved in a sex move. What do you think?
Of course.
It has to be specifically New York. It can't be a Bronx.
How about the New York knuckle when you are fisting someone and then abruptly and without warning pull out and punch them in the face?
Oh, wait. Is that New York City or is that New York State?
I think it qualifies. Andy Ostroff, 3. Aaron Lewis won. Now, Aaron, if you don't get it here, it's over.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right. Aaron, Factor Fudge, is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Hotlanta.
Boy.
The correct city is Atlanta.
Hotlanta.
But is there a Hotlanta sex move?
A sex move. I think they're under 82. I don't think they're that good this year. Oh, Atlanta. They can only trade away like two of their best players. Yeah.
Yeah, but so, Boss Man Jr. changed his name to Melvin.
Appreciate the rationale.
Oh, wait, no. So, sorry. It's going to be under, but definitely a sex move.
That is correct, actually. The Atlanta hash brown is while you're attempting to perform a Boston pancake or Cleveland steamer. And the fecal matter is not solid form. It then becomes an Atlanta hash brown. All right.
I figured Waffle House would be involved.
And, the Atlanta Braves are going to be terrible this year. It's at 77.5 at the Cosmopolitan. But it's going to be way under that.
I'm glad I didn't get that one. I would probably say they
would have been both. All right, so here, it comes down to Andy Ostroff. If you get this correct,
oh man.
If you don't, Aaron Lewis has a shot. Here we go. Factor fudge.
Is this a city whose professional baseball team is predicted to win more than 82 games this year, or one that is mentioned in a sex move found on Urban Dictionary, or both? Houston.
I'm going to say just the sex move.
That is correct. Houston is going
pretty
to be
give him all the
terrible.
Easy ones.
They're going to be. You give him all the easy ones.
This is Cleveland. Well, Houston, you didn't get Cleveland.
Houston is going to be garbage. They're predicted to win just 73 games this year and finish at the bottom, basically, of the AL West. So congratulations goes out to
wait. What's
Andy
the sex
move? I'm sure there's plenty out there. We just run out of time. That
Houston,
ladies and gentlemen, constitutes as our Major League Baseball preview. part two. That's the way we
roll
here.
And when he
here.
Says part two, he means literally a shit.
Yes. That's the way we roll here at the Daily Upper Decker.
You
find
only
us
get unique insights here.
At dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook.
Bud Light Platinum, what's up?
And Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. You can also find us on Vine. We'll see you next week when it's nothing but a March Madness preview.
Fuck you, Stephen A. Smith.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.